The Old Testament scripture given to us on this Christmas day may be found from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, reading from verse 2 to verse 7. Isaiah 9, 2 to 7. Let us hear the word of the Lord. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Beloved, the end of the lesson.
The second lesson is taken from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Titus chapter 2, reading from verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our gospel reading is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to verse 20. Luke 2, 1 to 20, we shall rise. And it's titled, The Birth of Jesus. Now shall we now listen to the word of the Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of God. Please be seated. There are a few people coming in, so we'll wait for them.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is Christmas Day, and the whole world is celebrating the most amazing good news ever to fall on human ears. That is the birth of the Savior of the world, Jesus the Christ. We have one more Sunday before we get into the new year. But since today is the birth of Christ, permit me to, on behalf of my two brothers, Osofo Canon Nelson and Osofo Ayi, to wish members of this congregation Merry Christmas. And the time is up. We wish you a happy new year. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are looking at the theme, Christ the Savior is born. In the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Judges, and chapter 3 and verse number 9, the word Savior was used as a title applied to successful captains. In 2 Kings chapter 13 verse number 5, it was used for successful kings, and in its general use, it was applied to leaders and deliverers of the people of Israel in the course of their history. This is how the book of Nehemiah puts it, quote, "Thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their adversaries." Nehemiah 9 verse number 27. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, Since it was God who raised up saviors for the nation Israel in time of their need, in their historical context or historical crisis, God was also thought of as the savior of his people. Psalm 106 and verse number 21. Isaiah 43 verse number 11. Verse number 3 and verse number 11. And Isaiah 60 verse number 16. In comparison to other kings and other gods, the people of Israel could not identify anyone who could justify his claim for the title of savior. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, the Christ, Saint Luke started the Christmas story with the mention of Augustus Caesar, nephew of Julius Caesar, one of the most powerful of the Caesars, to indicate that it was not and will not be the Caesars, the kings, the presidents who could determine the history of humanity. As Christians in faith, we believe that God is not only the ruler of all things, but even the ruler of human history. So St. Paul, in Galatians 4, verse number 4 to verse number 5, wrote, quote, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the story of Christmas was God's fullness of time to send the Savior of the world to bring God's good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Luke 4, number 18. Brothers and sisters, Bethlehem is said to be a Hebrew word meaning house of bread. The prophet Micah had predicted that the Savior who said to the crowd, quote, "I am the bread of life, and he that eats of me shall never die," unquote, would be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. So in the fullness of time, the Savior of the world was born, the Messiah was born. God demonstrated his love for a world walking in darkness. Friends in the Lord, through the birth of Jesus the Christ, God the Creator entered into human life. By the decree of Augustus Caesar, the Messiah was born where God had chosen. That is why Luke set the birth of the baby, over against Emperor Caesar to proclaim that God is the all-knowing God, the Lord of history. History, therefore, is ruled not by fate, the will of man, by God, not by Caesar, but by Christ, who is Lord and Savior of the world. The Lord and Savior of the world has come to meet the deep spiritual, psychological, physical, and emotional needs of humanity. He has come to reverse values of the world. Beloved, the message of the angel to the shepherds was a very simple one. "I bring you good news, for to you is born the Savior of the world," quote unquote. Beloved, according to Luke 2, verse number 10, the news was for all people, but all would have to become as humble as those shepherds, as humble as a child, before able to receive the kingdom of God. You know, if Jesus has come to reverse the values of mankind, it's very simple. In those days, during the time when Jesus was born, shepherds were despised because they were not adhering to Jewish customs. Because of their work, they were very far away from home, so they did not have the opportunity Jewish columns, so they were despised. And yet, God was interested in Jesus because he was to come into this world to become the shepherd of humanity. The angel's description of the newborn baby involved three things. One, his function as the savior of the world. In Jesus' own description of his function, he said, quote, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19, verse number 10. The second has to do with his office. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He has come to be king over God's people, fulfilling all the re-promises for which Israel had been waiting for through the centuries. 2 Samuel 7, verse number 12 to 16. The third has to do with his dignity. He is Lord. The word used in both the Old and the New Testament to describe God himself. Jesus is therefore the one in whom God has appeared in human history to establish his lordship over the entire universe. Philippians 2 and verse number 11. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the description of Isaiah 9, 2 to 7 is said to be a hymn concerned with the Messiah and the Messianic age. The first part of the hymn refers to the transformation which has come over the people who were in darkness. The light has shined upon them and there is great joy. Chapter 9, verse number 2 and verse number 3. The second part of the hymn gives the reason for the joy. Verse number 4 to verse number 6. And the third part is the climax, the announcement of the birth of a royal son, on whose shoulders the government is to be placed and whose name will be composed of four titles. God himself, one, wonderful counselor, mighty God, two, everlasting Father, three, and four, Prince of Peace. Brothers and sisters, in these titles, the baby Jesus is bearing a series of names referring to the nature of God himself, indicating that there would be a special relationship between God and his king. The Messiah, the Christ, the newborn baby, Jesus, is going to be the instrument of the purpose of God. In verse number 7 of Isaiah chapter 9, God promised the permanence of his government, a government of peace and justice, a kingdom ruled from the throne of David forever. Christ indeed was the fulfillment of the purpose of God. Christ's coming means peace and justice to the poor, blind, oppressed, widows, orphans, and the marginalized. Brothers and sisters, his peace is not a political peace, but spiritual peace. Peace among men who are the recipients of God's good pleasure. The message of the song of the angels was that the peace that they were predicting would only come if God's people will glorify God in the highest. Beloved, the tragedy of our world today is that we have made war glorious and attractive, and peace dull and uninteresting. So when we are talking about war, then you have Ghanaian soldiers ready to go to Lebanon. At least when they are coming back, they have something inside their pocket. So when they are talking about peace, you see, it's not something coming from the heart. Because if the issue in the Middle East is resolved, some people will stop going to the army. So we have made war so attractive. And when there's any war in Africa, and there will be peacekeeping here, they don't want to go because the countries in Africa will have to contribute. But over there in the Middle East, is there. I remember in 1991 when they asked me to join the army, I said I will not go. So I went to the General Assembly clerk and I asked, why do you want me to join the army? Then he said, look at your height. So I said, is that your reason? I'm not going. Then I have a friend, a soldier man. I went to him and said, what is so attractive about the army? He said, Osofo, if you are able to go to Lebanon twice, you will become somebody. Then I said, I don't want to become somebody. So you see why people go? Because if they have the opportunity to go, then they will become somebody. Am I right? But the peace that Jesus is talking about is the peace that will rule your heart. Even if you don't have it, that peace will still be there. This passage in Proverbs, I don't know how to quote it in Brofo, but it says that a trauma being to end to a yaw mean, and if a shiny loy law bump, nibe yaw mean. In other words, if you are able to enjoy that little that you have, just like Paul said, I'm content with everything. That is the kind of happiness, that is the kind of joy, that is the kind of peace that Jesus is bringing into the world. Brothers and sisters, the whole world is afraid of terrorist attacks. As a result, we have missed the excitement of peace, which is a gift from God. The greatest gift in the person of the Savior Jesus the Christ is what we are looking for. Right now, if you are traveling and you are not fortunate and you have beer there, the way they will screen you as if you are coming from one of the Arab countries. And yet, those people are very close to them. Those people who have been attacking people, the suicide bombers are all close to them. They don't see them. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, that is where we are now, because we are not appreciating the fact that Christ came in the fullness of God's time to redeem us, to make us free, and to set us free. The whole world is yearning for peace, and yet there is no peace coming in our world. This profound message of peace was entrusted to shepherds. According to the Old Testament tradition, the honesty and integrity of shepherds was so questionable that they were not even permitted to testify in court of law. And yet, this profound message of peace was entrusted to these humble shepherds. In giving the message to the shepherds, God bypassed the scribes and the religious leaders, as if God was saying, I know how to handle my own situation. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the lesson God has for us is that we need to make peace with God and with our neighbors. God has dealt with our sins already. His grace is sufficient for us. Those who heard the message from the shepherds wondered. They were impressed and amazed. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, last Sunday evening, led by the church choir, we ministered unto each other through the reading of appropriate scriptures and singing of appropriate carols and local compositions. In our participation, we re-echoed the message of Christmas. Joy to the world. Love came down. Glory to God in the highest. Peace among men. In the words of St. John, quote, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest in us. 1 John chapter 1. Today, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, we are saying thank you very much to God for sharing his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, with us. The reason for our joy today is that the Savior of the world, the anointed one of God, the Messiah, has come to save us from one, darkness to light, life of destruction to eternal life, from guilt to pardon, from slavery to freedom, from fear of hostile power to liberty and assurance, from separation to a share in divine citizenship. So if Christ was given to us, and through Christ, God shared his only Son with us, the message of Christmas is very simple. Go and spend some time with somebody. Share your time with somebody and let the person know. Tell the person Christ loves you. By sharing your time, the person will appreciate. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, today is Christmas, and we are celebrating it as such. The Savior has come. So how do we receive the Savior? We need to prepare our hearts. So for a very long time, in some countries, the celebration of Christmas will start around October. Over here, somewhere very close to 20 feet, before you see that the Christmas, the bells are ringing and that kind of thing. But whatever be it, today is Christmas. All that we need to say is, God, thank you for giving us your Son, for sharing your only Son with us, so that in him, we see light, so that in him, the light will manifest in our lives, so that in him, we are able to tell others that there is a man called Christ who has come to save the world. It is my prayer that as you celebrate Christmas, the good Lord will continue to be with you. And before I say amen, permit me to, on behalf of my friends again, to say thank you very much for visiting our homes and making Christmas a reality in our lives. We thank you all very much, and at the appropriate time, we say a better thank you. Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas.